This is Jesse Goldberg-Strasser, joined by Dr. Ray Koreski, Director of the Employee Assistance Program with the Toronto Blue Jays. Dr. Koreski, I read that in the 1980s you were working in Phoenix when a couple members of the Oakland Athletics front office approached you, and that's how you first got involved in baseball. Tell me this story.
Well, I was running the Employee Assistance Program for a local hospital, and the A's were over there actually looking into drug testing at the time because it was during the era of the cocaine issues and they were being very proactive. And one of the things they also wanted to do is find somebody to help their players with any issues or problems, not just substance abuse. And they came to my office.
Did you know what to expect?
No. I was told before they got there that they were coming, and I really hadn't ever thought about working in sports, but I have worked a lot with young adults and males mostly. So I had some idea of what their needs might be.
Was there anything, once you started working with the Oakland Athletics and with their young players, did you draw upon those basically the same things? Was it exactly as you said, where it's still working with the young adults, the same sort of difficulties that ball players faced as the people you'd worked with before?
It was funny because they asked me what my background was, and I said I worked a lot with disturbed adolescents, and they both laughed and looked at each other and went, perfect. And I always say disturbed adolescence is a redundant term. We're talking about young people who, there are all the issues every young person has in developing, but we're also talking about them playing it out in a very weird environment. And baseball is an unusual environment, very high pressure, a lot of things, they're away from home, they're moving around, a lot of things going on that most young adults don't have to deal with, except maybe, you know, the place where it's even much worse, of course, would be like combat military. But for the most part, young adults go into entry-level jobs or college. It's fairly structured. Baseball has a lot of structure, but it also has a lot of pressures and issues like being away from home, moving around, that make it difficult.
Let's start a little bit before this. How did you first enter the field?
I always joke, I thought the dumbest course I took as an undergrad was psychology, and I never thought to work in sports, so I spent the last 28 years working in sports as a psychologist. So to some degree, it's what happened to me, but it was after I finished my undergraduate, I started reading things and getting interested in my background's in education, my bachelor's and master's degree, and so I started getting interested in psychology. I got my master's from Harvard in education, but most of my courses were developmental psychology, and it kind of took off from there.
And you went from Harvard to the state of Arizona, right?
I went back to the state of Arizona. I was born in Phoenix, and after 4 years in Boston in the cold, I decided I need to get back to the desert, so they had a very good program in counseling psychology, and that's where I got my PhD.
And then who did you work with after that?
Well, I started with the St. Luke's Hospital, where, again, I was director of the Employee Assistance Program. I also set up programs for like the Phoenix Fire Department, a couple other hospitals. I started developing programs for other organizations when the A's approached me.
Are there any similarities between the stresses faced by, say, firefighters and baseball players?
I don't know whether I'd say that similarities in stress. What is similar is their predominantly male. Baseball, of course, almost completely in the players, of course, is completely with the players, but firefighters at the time, there's more women now, but we're mostly male, so it's male, uniformed, disciplined. There definitely were similarities. Physically oriented, I often thought ball players would do well when they're finished with their career, they could go into something like that, because a lot of the highly disciplined. I don't think people realize the amount of discipline ball players have to have. A lot of people think ball players show up an hour before the game, play the game, and then leave right afterwards. They also think they all have money, and certainly major league guys have quite a bit of money, but a lot of the minor league guys, unless they got the bonuses, don't. It isn't an easy lifestyle.
Speaking with Dr. Ray Koreski, the director of the Employee Assistance Program with the Toronto Blue Jays, how many different major league teams have you worked with?
I've worked with six different organizations, and all those organizations, I work with the majors all the way down to the rookie level. And one of the things I like is that it gave me a perspective of, when I first started this, one of the things I said to the A's is I really wanted to work at the lower levels first, understand their world, what they go through, before I start working with the major league players, because otherwise I don't understand them that well, and that's really been helpful to understand the whole range of development and see them when they first enter. Some are college kids, some are out of high school, Latin American players, some from Asia. So you really get all different kinds, and seeing how they develop and how, what they go through was an important part of being able to help them. And that was, so I've worked with six different organizations over the years.
What surprised you the most in your initial seasons working with baseball players?
I don't think I realized how hard they worked. How difficult it is when you keep getting moved around, your long bus rides, not the best. They're better now. I started 28 years ago, and a lot of the clubhouses back then weren't that terrific. The food wasn't that good. How much they had to really want it to make it happen. I mean, and the odds are against them, and the expectations, you know, they carry the expectations of their family and friends and the people that drafted them, and their own. And I think that I never realized the kind of pressure that they felt. A lot of people say things about ballplayers, you know, you read them in the blogs and things, comments, and most ballplayers I know, they're not perfect. And, you know, they're young men. I always joke, I don't know about the rest of you, but when I was that age, I got in plenty of trouble without having the money and the attention and everything else. So, you know, they're young men, and they're, most of them are nice young men, but, you know, they get into stuff and they've got to deal with life. Think about you're off on the road and you find out your beloved grandparent died, and later you're married and you have kids and you're playing and your child takes their first step, but not with you around. There's a price to be paid. They love it, don't get me wrong. No, one of the things that's hard for ballplayers is, I don't think people realize, is they don't feel, they know they have it good, they have something special, they're paid to play a game. And even the ones in the minors who never make a lot of money, there's still something special about it. So they don't think they should complain. So it's also hard for them to ask for help. So I can't tell you how many times guys will say, look, I know I shouldn't complain to everybody. I've got it so good, but. Well, the but is they still have all the difficulties of life, and some a lot of people don't have. Being away from the people they love, not being sure of their career and where it's going, no matter what they do. You know, so it's a tough environment. And even the ones, even stars that make the big money still pay a price for what they do. And again, the biggest price is being away from family and your kids as they get older and they have kids. These are significant things. And, no matter how you cut it, no how much money you have, being away from your family is a difficult. So they don't ask anybody to feel sorry for them. I've never met a player yet who didn't apologize for even asking for help. But the reality of it is they have stressors and difficulties that sometimes, just like everybody else, it's helpful to have somebody who understands their world. I think that was what was behind this is I'm a psychologist, but I also spend enough time in baseball. I understand their world. And so it's easier for me to help them within the context of their own environment and what they have to deal with. Somebody said to me, how many sessions do you see them? And I said, well, define a session. I do a lot of counseling sitting in the dugout, on the phone, after a game, sitting in the clubhouse, and we don't have a lot of formal sessions. Ball players are good at taking information and making changes pretty quickly. I've been really impressed with them because that's what they have to do. They have a short window. So they're good. They're not as good about asking for help because they're very driven and feel like they should do it themselves. Understandable. But when they do ask for help, they're able to use it. And I've been very impressed with how many of them are able to use it pretty quickly. Not everybody. You know, I'm sure everybody's going to sit there and go, well, I know so-and-so. He didn't use it. Look what happened to him. Yeah, they're people, and not everybody, or maybe I wasn't a good enough counselor even. But overall, I'm pretty impressed with, you know, here's something to think about. People complain a lot about athletes and think they're a bunch of, you know, they have it easy and they're a bunch of screw-ups, and, you know, or a lot of people say a lot of negative things, and they say, look how many get in trouble. I actually think, if you took a similar group of the same age males outside of baseball, I think the athletes, or I'll just say baseball players, actually do better. It's just that you hear about everything. You know, I'm just...
They're in the spotlight.
Exactly. But in reality, baseball demands a lot of them. We scrutinize them. We test them. We have people like me walking around asking how hard... I mean, it
we know their salaries.
Yeah, I mean, it's right. They don't have much privacy. I actually think they do very well. And most of them are nice people. But they're nice people in a high-pressure environment. One thing that kind of amuses me is sometimes the guy that knows how to play the press, kind of, he's a good guy. Everybody's, oh, this is a great guy. And I actually know he isn't such a wonderful person.
His personality is good when the red light of the camera's on.
And another guy who maybe doesn't know how to play the press and is kind of withdrawn tends to get, bad-mouthed. And actually, he's a really nice guy. So people don't know who they really are and what they go through. Sometimes people are going through really horrendous things in their lives, and they're still going out there and making it happen, and the courage and discipline that takes. And again, I know they're paid all this. We all have to go to our jobs. But I'm just saying that it is a special environment with special stresses and difficulties that we ought to at least take into account before we judge them so harshly.
There was something that you briefly touched upon, that with males and guy culture in general, you take care of yourself. You don't open up. If you have something wrong, you don't need to share with other people because you can take care of it. Do you have to fight through that stigma?
Yeah, and part of it is they're not likely to share with each other about what's bothering them. So when I do get guys, sometimes one of the things I help them understand is they're not alone. They feel like, wow, why do I have this problem? I don't hear anybody else having this problem. And I always kind of, amuses me a little bit because I say, hey, trust me, you're not alone. But yeah, there is that self-reliant, I've got to make it happen. That's what, you walk out there to play, you got to make it happen. And so you have that attitude about your life. So it isn't so easy to ask for help. I always find it interesting that there's usually somebody will come see me every season who will say, I thought I'd be the last guy to ever come and see you. And I go, yeah, I've known a fair number of last guys. That's why I do what I do, is I go around and I visit clubs, visit spring training, get to know them in an informal way, in a friendly way, tease, joke, just get to know them so that when the time comes, they at least, I'm not this 800 number, I'm not this distant psychologist who...
They know you.
Yeah, that's right. They know me, For good or bad, they know me. And that's what makes it possible when the time comes for them to get on the phone or approach me and say, hey, Ray, I need some help. And so even if I go to a club and nothing seems to be going on, it's time well spent because, when a crisis hits, and that's usually what it's going to take. They're really struggling with something. They're comfortable enough to call.
When you go to a club... Do you, especially let's say you arrive here with the Lansing Lugnuts, do you say, here's my number, and speak to the group as a whole? How do you let the players know that you're here?
Well, first of all of them have heard me talk, most of them numerous times, because every spring training, I'll visit spring training at least two or three times. I'll give several talks about first the program, who I am, how it works. I'll talk to them maybe about issues like substance abuse or maybe performance and issues around that they're grinding away in their heads. So I'll give talks so they all hear me and kind of get a sense of what I'm about, and I visit with them. So usually by the time I come here, there's a lot of them, all of them have heard me before. They're at least a little familiar. Sometimes there'll be new people, and I try to make a point of going and meeting those new people. And I don't know. I mean, there's guys go all the way through their career on teams I know that I don't know very well. But a lot of them I get to know in a friendly way, and I may never see them on a personal basis, but in terms of their problems. But that's the idea. So, yeah, when I come here, I gave a short talk this time. And then I spend time just kind of hanging out, saying hello to people, chatting. Maybe somebody I'm following up with who had an issue before, maybe not. Maybe somebody approached me and say, Ray, can we talk? And it could be right in the clubhouse because we could be talking about where they came. I always like to hear where people come from. We could be talking about the basketball tournament, was going on. Or we could be talking about problems that they have, and nobody really knows, and nobody cares. There's not a lot of stigma about talking with me, because most of them are comfortable with having me around.
Finally, Since you've gotten involved with baseball in the mid-1980s, with the Oakland Athletics originally and six major league teams and the organizations overall, do you watch baseball differently now than before you were involved when you were just going through when you were a baseball fan? How does your experience and now your connection to baseball, how has that changed?
I don't watch a lot of games. You know, when I'm on the road, I'll see them. You know, I'll turn on the TV if one of the teams I work with is there. I guess I view it, I'm always, it's not about, I mean, I'm loyal to my teams. I want to win just like everybody else. The Oakland A's even gave me a World Series ring when they won in the 89. So, you know, I'm very proud of that, and it was very generous of them. But I guess I look at it as people. What I love about baseball is the characters in it. You have people from very, and not just the players, staff too, who are mostly just players who are older, and certainly skilled in a lot of ways. I should say that. The other thing about baseball is how hard the staff work and what they're about and the commitment they have and how many of them put in a tremendous number of hours and energy to make it happen. That would be another surprise I had is the real, you know, I'm not successful unless I can work well with staff. And it's confidential. When I meet with player, they know it's confidential and they know I'll hold the line. They know the staff are never going to ask me. They often give me permission to talk with staff about an issue maybe because I can help facilitate solutions that way. But still working with the staff, and I never think anything I do is going to work unless I work well with other people and I'm part of a, I feel like I'm part of a team that helps players develop. The idea that I'm going to go in and say something and they're going to go, oh, wow, this is the most important thing. It's not like that. I want to make a contribution as part of many contributions, and the biggest contribution is the players themselves. So for me, it's about the people, and baseball has very diverse interests. You know, most of the world, if you go into business and industry or academia, you kind of get homogenized. You know, everybody's, you got to become more like everybody else. But baseball, you can be who you are. If you can, I always say, if you can hit that curveball or throw it, you can be whoever you are, wherever you want to be, within reason, of course. But so you tend to have people who are more characters, and that's what I love about it is the from different countries and languages, but just characters, fun, interesting people. That's the biggest joy for me in the game. And so when I watch a game, I often just see, I'll see a guy who maybe I worked with or had on a team years ago. He's with a different team now, and I'll think about that. And so that's what kind of I get off on. I still tell people, I don't know, I can't tell a slider from a curveball. Or you know, it's not my department, but I can tell you what might be going on in the head of a guy when he's not throwing it well.
Dr. Ray Koreski, Director of the Employee Assistance Program for the Toronto Blue Jays. Thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Good. Thank you.
I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. You're listening to Lugnuts Baseball on Big Country 92.1.